Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
The scripture this morning, I'm reading way more than I usually read, mainly because I just didn't know where to stop, you know. So we're going to read Ephesians 5, 21 through 6, 9. So the end of 5, the beginning of 6. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of that because if you read the book of Deuteronomy, basically Moses got up and read to the, or preached to the whole assembly of Israel the whole book. 34 chapters or something like that, you know. So, I mean, would you rather hear me babble for a few extra minutes or would you rather hear the Word of God? So we're going to hear the Word of God a couple extra minutes. So hear the Word of God from Ephesians 5. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he would be holy and blameless, that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one have ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife also must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, and with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do not do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Amen. Amen. Well, shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this, your holy word. And Lord, I pray that you would take this example and challenging command to our hearts. Help us to hear with fresh ears, be willing to surrender to you, and to one another in the fear of Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The memory verse is real short. We ought to all learn it. You can probably you could pick your own translation. This is the New American Standard. It says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Would you join me in that? Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Ephesians 5:21. I think on your bulletin cover, you have a color picture of that verse in the Passion Translation, which is equally good. So I invite you to look at that as well. Well, as a kid growing up, I mean, I grew up in, I think, much simpler times. I think by the age of 4, I was allowed to go out and play in the woods with my friends. You know, we hung out for, you know, all day. And I just don't see that happening today much. But, and of course, as boys would be boys, we used to do a lot of wrestling. Of course, we had a great example. The real wrestling took place back then. That was studio wrestling from Pittsburgh. You used to watch Bruno Sammartino and Andre the Giant and all these other, there was some the animal, I forget what his name was. But yeah, well, that was the one that was really wrestling. You know, this stuff today, I'm not sure, you know. Anyway, you can see us boys wrestling around, carrying on, and you'd get somebody in a hold and you'd hold them down. You'd say, I'm not letting you go until you say uncle, right? Some of you older folks don't know that one, but yeah, we would do that, you know, surrender or die, you know, submit or die. You know, we were always, now honestly, I don't think anyone ever really got hurt doing this, you know, and we really didn't mean that we were going to kill somebody. You wouldn't be able to say that today, right? In our culture today, you try that at school, kids, and see if the police don't get called. I mean, you're going to be, you don't do that. I'm just saying, don't do that, because I did it. But that was this whole idea of submission. Well, nowadays, I think those are fighting words. Nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to obey. Nobody wants to be subject to another person. I mean, and that's absolutely just not a good thing. And you know, those are actually fighting words to try to push someone to that. And if you think about it, as Americans, those were fighting words. You remember, what did the colonies say? We will not submit to British rule. You know, the Boston Tea Party's mantra was no taxation without representation. Like, we will not bow to you. And of course, it ended up with the Revolutionary War. And so this whole idea of rebellion and freedom is built into our American makeup. That's just who we are. Well, thinking further about that, where did that begin? Well, actually, if you think about it, rebellion and the desire for independence began in the Garden of Eden, right? When Adam and Eve refused to surrender, to submit to one command that God gave, one. It was your freedom to do anything you want. It's all yours. You're in charge. Except don't eat from this one tree. And of course, they went ahead. They stepped out in independence, rebellion, and they ate of that one tree. And what happened? They got booted out of the Garden of Eden. I mean, they lost all that freedom that they had. And of course, so thinking about that, I have to say this morning, this message is for me personally, as a father, as a husband, as a follower of Jesus, but also as a pastor in the United Methodist Church, it speaks to me. On Tuesday, we had our council meeting, and we voted unanimously to explore disaffiliation. So in the Book of Discipline, there is a paragraph that says that you can decide not to be United Methodist, and there's some details with that, but it's called disaffiliation. And so as a council, we voted to explore that. So we've contacted our district superintendent, and he will schedule a meeting with us and the council and the assistant to the bishop, and down the road, we don't know when that will be, and he'll show us what is expected, what would that mean. So just to let you know, it's called exploring that. We haven't got to the point where say we're doing that, but you could be praying for us. But thinking about being subject to those in authority over you, how is that, me as a pastor, you know, at a church that we're talking about disaffiliating from that authority? So there's some challenges in thinking about this. So as we think about submission, as we think about being subject, as we think about that, let's look at this word. What does it really mean? What is the biblical definition? And of course, Ephesians 5:21 says, be subject, and you can find that word translated a lot of different ways. But the word here that is translated, be subject, has multiple meanings. The word subject has the meaning, it's a compound verb, and it really means to arrange under. Okay, it's tasosa or something like that. I could actually look it up, say it correctly, but it comes from the word, like a hypodermic needle is hypo, means under the skin. Hypodermic means under the skin, and so the word under, but it means to arrange under. So if you're arranging an alphabet, A, B, C, if you start A, and then you'd put B under. So that's kind of what it's talking about. Being subject means you put yourself under somebody else, that you think that their ideas, their ways, their things are better. So that verse, be subject to one another, the CEV, the Contemporary English Version says, honor Christ and put others first. So there's that arrangement. You put somebody else first. Well, as I said, there's many, many words. There's three particular English words that we kind of use: to be subject or submit to somebody, be submission, to respect somebody, and to show honor to somebody. So those three words are kind of parallel words. They have a little bit different meanings. So as I said, submission means to place yourself under, to arrange yourself under others. You put their desires, their thoughts, their rights before yours. The word honor really means to assign value. So whether it be to a wife or to a husband or to children, to the emperor, to one another, you're assigning value to others. So if you would think about it, if you have a diamond here and a pebble here, you'd say, okay, I'm going to assign this as more value. And so we are to do that with others. We're to assign value to those. We're to honor them. Now, the issue, kind of challenges for us as Christians and as Americans, is that we can be critical people. You know, and you know, that, honestly, I'm just telling you, that's hard not to be, because when you know you're right, it's hard not to be critical of other people, right? It's a joke, but it's true, right? It wouldn't be funny if it wasn't true. So how many times in dealing with other people, you know you're right, and so to submit or to honor someone else would be to put their belief that they might be right, or even though they're wrong, you're going to subject yourself to them. You're going to willingly lay aside what you know for what they think and what they believe. All right, to honor is to assign value. And in many places in the scriptures, you can go through and look them up. Honor the emperor. Honor your wife as a weaker vessel. Honor your father and mother. Love one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. So, you know, if you want to be competitive, then how can you honor somebody else more than they honor you? You know, I mean, that's the idea. How do you put value in someone else's life? And finally, the third one is respect. Respect's a little more challenging if you want to look at the original origin of the meaning. The root word of the word respect is fear. So it says respect someone, you're supposed to fear them. And of course, if you think about fearing God, it's talking about reverence. It's about being in awe of fun. Actually, one of the uses of this word is to flee in fear. So that's, like I said, that's a little more tough to wrestle with. But if you think about it in terms of God, we fear the Lord, we reverence him, we are in awe of him. And so when there's verses about respecting one another, respecting someone else, that's where that idea comes in. Well, as I said, as an American, this is unnatural. But merely just as a human being, this is challenging. It's not quite natural. You know, I'm not sure a study has been done, but I've heard it said, if you would line up people from different nations and just listen to how they talk about their country, you could identify the American. The American is going to complain about his country and complain about his elected officials and complaining about the laws. Because that's who we are. We have the freedom of speech, and you're allowed to complain about your leaders. That's what we do, right? And so if you just listen to people talk, it's like, oh yeah, that's the American. He's the one that's like, rah, 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 you know, about ourselves. We're critical, we complain, we're upset all the time. And even I know in social media, there's been some restrictions about, you know, your right to free speech. And so what do? We complain about that, you know, about they're limiting my speech on social media. Well, anyway, that's kind of the ballpark idea of submission, respect, and honor. That's what we're called to do. That's what this chapter is telling us to do. So let's look at how that is displayed. How does that lived out? If you look at Ephesians 5, 29 and 30, talks in that husband and wife discussion, he's really talking about Christ and the church. And it says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." With the birth, life, and death of Jesus, something radically new happened in the world, in the universe. Up until this time, humility was not a virtue. It was a criticism. It was a deficit. It was a defection. You were defective if you were humble. Okay? None of the leaders, the military leaders, anybody up to the time of Christ would ever show that. The stronger you are, the more ruthless you are, that was the better you were. Well, now with the coming of Jesus, there was a shift in history, and now humility has become a virtue. Okay, humility is something to look up to. And even today, if you would see a couple of people and you would interview them, even like candidates for running for office, if you hear one is always talking one way and the other person is more truthful but also more humble, you're going to be attracted to the humility. And so with the coming of Jesus, humility has become a virtue. Philippians 2 tells us, have this attitude in yourself that was in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, did not think of God the equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself. And he took on the form of a bondservant and became a human. So here you have Jesus, who is God, emptied himself of that. He submitted himself to a human body. He submitted to the life of a human being on this earth. He even submitted himself to a fake trial and a crucifixion for you and me. I mean, so he gave away the rights that he had so that he could save you and me. Now with that idea of submission, there has to be that we have something that we can submit. And now, of course, in America, you have freedom. You have opinion. As Christians, you are a child and a son and daughter of God. And what he is saying in this life, we can give up some of those rights in deference to somebody else, to a spouse, to another brother or sister in the Lord. I mean, you can let them have the right to be right instead of you always having the right to be right. Philippians 2:9 then and following says, for this reason, because Jesus emptied himself, went all the way to the cross, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's you can be claim all of your rights and be on top all the time, or you can surrender your rights and put others ahead of you and allow Jesus to put you on a throne, to give you a name that is above every name, that can lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time. So Jesus didn't claim his rights, he emptied himself, and in due time God exalted him and made him above all names. He displayed humility, he displayed submission, not just in birth as he became a human baby, but also in his early life. If you read Luke's Gospel chapter 2 begins with the birth of Christ. It ends with Jesus being 12 years old. And if you read that passage, remember what happened when Jesus was 12? They did their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Probably he was celebrating his bar mitzvah. If you've ever been in Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, at the Western Wall, oftentimes they'll be having little celebrations down there, little worship services. And I'm not sure if that's part of the bar mitzvah when you become a Jewish man. But at the end of those days in Jerusalem, his family went home to Nazareth and Jesus stayed behind. I guess he thought he was 12 now and he was a man and he was going to start his earthly ministry. And his disciples, remember, his mom and dad didn't know he was missing and they went back and found him. What did they say when they found him? We are so proud of you that you're here talking with the priests and you're so smart. No, they didn't say that. They yelled at him. Like, bad boy, something like that. It was like, how could you do this to us? How could you do this to us? And it says, if you read it, in verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Talk about submitting. We're not talking about just any 12-year-old. Granted, 12-year-olds have trouble submitting. That's the beginning of the beginning of the terrible twos. It's the beginning, the terrible 12s, I think. If any of you are 12 here, it's not you, it's other 12-year-olds I'm talking about. But Jesus at this point is, it says he was continued in subjection to them. The next word you hear from Jesus, how old is he? 30. Like, wait a minute. He's 12, he continues in subjection to them. We don't hear a word from him until he's 30. I'm not sure what that exactly means. I have it in my own mind. But talk about humility, talking about subjecting himself, talking about giving up your rights and your authority for the sake of others. He did that for you and me. Now, Keep in mind, in the garden, he pleaded with God to take the cross away. Remember that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if you can make this cup pass from me, but not your will, but my, not my will, but your will be done. And then at the end, when he prayed, he said, if this cup won't pass except I drink it, then thy will be done. So he made a decision at that point. I am going to submit to this. I'm going to follow the will of God. And then when he, what did that look like? Then he was arrested. He surrendered to the arresters. He was put on trial with the chief priest. He surrendered to them. He was innocent. They brought false testimony. He didn't defend himself. Before Pilate, before Herod, back again before Pilate, he surrendered. He did not fight. He did not argue, although he was innocent. Remember, he told Pilate, you have no authority given to you except, you have no authority over me except given you from above. So it seemed like he was surrendering to the soldiers, to the priests, to the Pilate, to the cross, but he wasn't. He was surrendering to God, to the will of God. He knew this is where he had to go. And so for each of us, as we surrender, as we make this surrender, we have to remember that it seems like, and that's the hard part, that we're surrendering to other humans, but really we want to be surrendering only in light of surrendering to the will of God. Amen. Well, let's look about this submission being detailed out. Honor Christ and put others first, it says in the Contemporary English Version. Galatians 5:13 says, but you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. As Christians, we are free. It says we are free indeed. I can do anything I want to do. I am a child of God. That's freedom. But then he says, don't use that freedom for an opportunity to sin. It's like, okay, if I'm really forgiven, if I'm really cleansed, then I do want to serve God with, I want to surrender to him. I want to do only those things that are pleasing in his sight. But then it says, use your freedom as an opportunity to serve others. Put yourself under others. Make their desires, their needs more important than your needs. Now, Ephesians 5, that memory verse, then gets applied in different relational situations. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where it gets tough. It's okay to talk about this, and Jesus did it. It's okay to talk about it in generalities, but what about in the specifics? And here in the specifics, it begins to get applied. Wives and husbands. Oh boy. You know, the situation with wives and husbands really came about as a result of the fall. If you read the cursing of man and woman in the garden because of the sin, you'll see some of this stuff is the reason we have to live into this. Wives, be subject, arrange yourself under your husbands. Respect, be in awe of your husbands. Wow. Be in awe of your husbands. Boy, I'm glad I'm up here. Darlene, just forgive me if I know I'm not the perfect husband. Just ignore anything I say here. Just, you can close your ears. But the rest of you, now I get to talk on behalf of the husbands, right? Your husband lives in this world. He works. He tries to support the family. He is beaten down. He is diminished. On television, he's made to look like a fool. When he comes home, you need to make him feel like the king of the house. You need to be in awe of your husband. How you doing, ladies? Is that working for you? You know, if I had all the men together, and we would share, what would they say? No, they wouldn't say, they know better, you know. One guy would say, well, my wife acts this way, and she said I could say this, you know. No, I'm serious. Be in awe of your husband. Treat them with respect. You know, give them the authority and the honor that they deserve. But then on the other hand, husbands, love your wives and give yourself for them. Give yourself for them. I've shared this, I know, 100 times, but it was the first Promise Keeper rally I went to, or maybe the second one. I heard a speaker, I can't remember, he was African-American, I think he was from Texas. It could have been Tony Evans, I don't remember. I can't find the quote. That's, you know, if it's written down, you can find it, but if it was just spoken, it's hard to find. But he said, I will not be outserved in my house by my wife. I'm talking about coming home a changed man. I'm like, my goodness, I will not be outserved by my wife in my house. Okay, girls, I'm speaking for you now. How you guys doing? Are you outserving your wife at home? Right? Remember the whole American dream? The slippers and the pipe and the newspaper and the remote control. I guess that was before remote control. You know, and you just come in and sit down like the king and they take care of you, right? Are you outserving your wife? Are you loving her? Do you make her feel like the queen of your home? The queen of your heart? You know, I mean, I sympathize with women. I mean, you know, we see every day on television, you know, on the movies, you have these photoshopped, perfect pictures of what it looks like to be a beautiful woman, and then you have a woman that she works and she keeps care of the kids, and yet she runs around at night with a drink, and she's just, everything works out great. And she's trying to live up to that image of everything being super, and I'm super beautiful and super smart, and everything's great. Are you treating them with love? Are you making them feel like the queen of your home, the queen of your heart? Are you outserving them at home? They talk about contests. Talks about the contest would be to show honor to one another. That's the contest. Yeah, that's good. And then he says, this is a great mystery. I'm referring to Christ and the church. And you know, think about it. It's easy to surrender to a crucified Savior, to a risen Lord. It's easy to surrender to someone who loves me more than I love myself. Right? Jesus loved you more than you love yourself. He died for you. He gave his life for you. It's easy to surrender to that kind of God, isn't it? Should be. Well, the same is true in the family and in the household. It's easy to submit and respect a serving husband, a loving husband. It's easy to serve an honoring and respecting wife. And I want you to take that image. Last couple Sundays, I've had that prince and princess image in my head. Thank you, Noah. And I'm trying to get enjoy that one. But now I want you to get the image of king and queen of the house, king and queen of the heart. Now, that's in human relationships. Jesus takes that place, right? God has to be the king of the throne of your heart. But husbands, you need to make your wife the queen of your heart. Let her know it. And wives, you need to make him the king of the house, the king of your heart, and let him know that. Well, children and parents, it goes on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That's the first command with a promise. Obey, honor your parents. Everything in our world cries out for the kids to disobey. Do your own thing. Don't listen to your parents. Everyone complains. That's just what we do. But I'm telling you, there is nothing but blessing that comes from obeying your parents. Nothing but blessing. And then it goes on to say, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. In other words, don't be dad just because you're bigger. Don't be dad just because I said so. That's why. Well, yeah, that works for us. It doesn't work for the kids that much. Because I said so. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction to fear the Lord. Show them what is right. Live what is right. And try to share that with them. Children, honor your parents. Obey them. Fathers, honor your children. Treat them with love and respect and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves and masters. This is a bad one, isn't it? The Bible is not authorizing or legitimizing slavery. Slavery is wrong and always was and always will be. It was the current situation of the New Testament. There were Christians who were slaves. There were Christians who had slaves. I mean, it was the way it was. And so Paul is addressing that. I try to wrestle with that. Darlene and I were just talking. I don't know what we were. I think our neighbors were doing some construction work, and they were hauling stuff with trucks. And Darlene said, well, how would they do that before they had trucks and stuff? I said, well, if you had 1,000 slaves and they gave them 1,000 days and they carried little baskets of dirt That's how you did it. And that's how things were done. People also in that time, instead of going into bankruptcy, you would sell your children into slavery or, you know, indentured service, or you would sell yourself. So, I mean, it was a way of getting out of debt. I mean, so it was common. It was sad, but common. But hear this, I'm not trying to show how we would apply that to today. I think for me, it would be employers and employees. It would be debtors and creditors. It would be landlords and renters. I mean, think anytime someone is over you in the flesh, whether it be a boss or someone who you owe debt to, or even, you know, any kind of a leader, I think you could apply this to. Slaves, it says those that are under, it says be obedient, but not because they're forcing you to. Be obedient because you are honoring Christ by your obedience. You're working as if the Lord is looking at you. I heard a joke, I think it was an alpha joke maybe. This lady was working for this rich guy, banker, and he was the meanest guy along. Ever came along, and this maid got saved, and so she kept trying, you know, witness to her banker, you know, the guy that she was working for, and the banker finally said, "How are you so certain that this is real, that your life has changed?" She said, "Well, when I got saved, I quit sweeping dirt under your rug." Yeah. So no one's going to see you can sweep the dirt under for a couple weeks and then clean it up. But if you're a Christian, right, and you're a Christian maid, you're not going to do that. Well, that's what he's saying about. You're going to serve as if you're serving Christ. Serve your boss, not because he's threatening you or because it's the right thing to do. But on the other hand, the person who is in charge, the person who has the upper hand, the person who has authority, needs to act the same way because we are all one in Christ. That's the message. Well, what is the challenge? One caution, I guess, or challenge in this is that I am not saying, when you say the scripture says to submit, to respect, or to show honor, I'm not saying that you should live in a life of abuse, period. That is not what this is saying. If you're in an abusive situation, whether it be a marriage or a job or any kind of an abusive situation, you need to get help. You need to get out of that now. Absolutely. Slaves, get out of slavery. If you're in a bad job, get a better job. If you're in debt, get out of debt. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what situation. Child, man, woman, get out, get help. I'll be the first one to help you. But everything we do is as unto the Lord. I've just got some real phrases out of this scripture, and I didn't pick them all out. Verse 21 says, submit as in the fear of the Lord. Verse 22 says, wives, as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 29, just as Christ also does the church, so should the husband do. Children, 6:1 says, obey your parents in the Lord. Slaves, be obedient in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Masters, verse 9, do the same thing. This is talking about as my Christian duty, as I follow Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit, these are ways that I can be a changed person. I can surrender. I can put myself under those who are above me, those who are leading, as unto the Lord. So if you can't do it as unto the Lord, then you can't do it. Jesus exemplified that as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, Peter and John were arrested. And they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they're getting this speech from the Sanhedrin Council, and they interrupted the speech like, oh, stop. You don't need to go any further because you be the judge whether we should obey God or obey man. Okay, and so we are surrendering. If you need to make sure that you're obeying God in that surrender. And there are going to come times when you'll have to make a choice and you won't be able to surrender. And you'll have to make a decision. Jesus himself, when he was preaching during his earthly ministry, his mom and brothers came to get him because they thought he'd lost his mind. You remember that situation? He was in a crowded house, and they said, tell Jesus that we're out here. And they told Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He looked around at everyone in the house and said, who are my brothers and mothers and brothers, these people that hear the word of God and do it? And so he, at that point, made a decision. Well, am I going to submit to my mother and family, or am I going to follow Jesus? And at that point, he made the decision, I will follow God. He is Jesus. But he made a distinction there. And you know, all those times he said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate your mother and father, brother and sister, you know, for the kingdom of God's sake. I don't think he was just talking to us. He was talking to himself, because he had to make that decision. It wasn't until after the resurrection that his family came to faith. At least his brothers came to faith in Christ. Well, what about it? Are you submitted to God? That's the first question. Are you doing the will of God? Are you willing to have his way in your life? The lordship of Christ is what governs your life. And the leading, you follow the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's how we live our lives. But then as Christians, how are you doing in the whole being subject, honoring, and respecting others, one another, and those around you? As we close, I'm going to pray for us. Pray for me as I try to find to be a better husband, to be a better pastor, to be a better servant of Christ in those in authority over me. But also, I'm going to pray for you, that you too will find that same peace and direction as God leads us forward. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of living the Christian life. And Lord, I thank you for the rights and privilege of being a child of God, a prince and princesses in the kingdom of God. But Lord, we want to follow the model of Jesus, that we could be all things to all men in order that we might win some, that we are able to empty ourselves in this life momentarily for the glory that is to come in eternity. Lord, help us to search our hearts to see how we are surrendered to you. But also, Lord, are there circumstances that we can be better wives, better husbands, better children, better parents, better employers, better employees? O Holy Spirit, stir within us not a general feeling of I must do better, but Lord, a specific situation and moment where we can be your servants and bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.